Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello again, friends, coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington. This is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show radiating from the Beehive of Cultural Awareness, known formally as the Jean Bosch Voice of Vachon broadcast studio in the bustling and always bodacious heart of our pastoral island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together we, the Brieflies, strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Our Briefly panel includes today our control board magician, Vachon Airport Commissioner, treetop flyer, and the longest serving Briefly, Truman O'Brien.
Yeah, I'm old. There's no doubt about it.
been here first, done
been here,
that.
Been there, done that.
Awesome.
Yep.
Also, historian, professor, down under aficionado, and probably preparing to start working overtime as our guardian of the galaxy is Bruce Hallman.
There's a bit of a challenge coming up, I think. So I'm trying to gird my loins and get ready for it.
There you go.
Are you counting down the days? Is there like a calendar on your desktop?
Exactly. It's okay. Sort of like who's going to push the button when.
The button. We haven't thought about that for four years, have we? All right. Legal beagle, mediator, Fulbright scholar, and former assistant attorney general Craig Bellis is here today.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, ho. And if you could see into the Brown Briefly, into the studio, you would see Craig in full Christmas attire going for it. All right. Also, part-time Politico, water transit miracle worker, and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreyer, coming in from the sunny Midwest.
That's right. Hello from Denver. It's sunny and 60-something here.
Wow.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Well, we have the sunshine peeking into the Jean Bosch studio, so we're blessed with that. We have guests with us today. Let us welcome our Small Talk guests. So great to have you with us on the show again today, Jennifer Hawk of Not On Our Island.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And the us referring to also with Not On Our Island, Julia Gardner. Welcome, Julia.
Hey there. Happy to be here.
Wonderful to have you. Well, as people know, we always sort of check in with our panel and our guests for their highlight of the last week. So, perhaps any reflections on the passing of another solstice? Truman, maybe you can get us started.
Well, I don't have anything about the solstice, but I did have a wonderful week. Thursday this last week, I spent the night in the city, and we went to a jazz alley and saw David Benoit, who's an amazing, amazing pianist, doing a Charlie Brown Christmas. And it was just fantastic. And for those of you who haven't been to Jazz Alley, the food is amazing. And the talent they have is just beyond belief. But anyway, it was a great show. So had a wonderful time.
And it seems like a Charlie Brown Christmas, if it's the same that I've seen, has got a lot of piano in it.
A lot of piano. And of course, he's amazing. And there was a young woman there. I'm sorry, I don't have her name in front of me, but who sang as well. And a local. Young woman, and she was terrific as well.
Fantastic.
So anyways, great time.
All right. Bruce, how's your week going, and maybe what are you looking forward to?
Oh, looking forward to next year. If you've been reading who's the historian? Their name's slipping my mind now.
Heather Cox Richardson.
Oh, yeah. Yes, right. Mm-hmm. She's been in rare form these last few weeks, and it's going to be an interesting time. But for me, it's been kind of a quiet week. Sort of getting ready for the holidays and having dinner with friends, those kind of things. But yesterday, I had to run off the island yesterday, which was I was not looking forward to. and I got to I was exchanging a phone for my son, and I got to the Verizon shop, and it was closed because I didn't have any power. So I'm frantically looking for what's the closest Verizon store. And it was in Lakewood, so it wasn't very far away. But this is for you, Amy. It's sort of like we have amazing ferry service on Vashon when it works. You know,
yes.
And an amazing group of people who make it work. I mean, the ferry workers, I mean, they were all, some of them had Santa Claus hats on. I mean, you know, we do have a good ferry system if we could just get it working like it should work, you know. So so that was my experience yesterday.
Well, that is a perfect segue to Amy and letting you tell us how you're doing.
I'm pretty good. I made it to Denver, you know, made it safely through holiday travel. Big highlight, I think, of my week was that I got to sit in an exit row and had an empty seat next to me.
Whoa.
So, you know, like these days, that's a Christmas miracle.
Celebration.
Thoroughly enjoyed that. And just a little bit like Bruce, lots of time with the family now. We had family, we're going for three. We're going for the triple threat here for family dinner nights, three in a row. Last night, enchiladas, tonight, hors d'oeuvres, and then tomorrow will be Christmas, you know, early Christmas dinner. So lots of time with the nieces, lots of time with the family, also my dog. I wish I had Truman's update because I really wanted to have seen that show.
Oh, it was
amazing.
Just a great show. But that wasn't you that went out the emergency exit, was it? Out under the wing?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm. I stayed in.
Oh, good.
I know what I'm doing.
There's maybe some rivalry with the Treetop Flyers. Is that what's shaping up?
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, let's go from Amy to Jennifer because, you know, Jennifer was here with us on the invitation of Amy the last time you were in the studio. So Jennifer, how are you doing?
I sure was. It's fun to be back here. Thanks, you guys. Honestly, I'm still recovering from studio tour, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Had a really great time. The most people we've ever had come through the studio. Had three artists in my working studio for two weekends. And I've just been slightly catatonic. I did actually get my garden cleaned up, which was remarkable.
Wow.
So, yeah, and I'm looking forward to a little downtime this week, frankly. So, yeah, thank you.
I can say my garden is looking at me with those dour eyes like you need to be paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, right?
Craig, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It was a wonderful weekend of debauchery. No, I mean of...
Matt, who?
A lot of parties, a lot of gatherings with a lot of... fun times, I have to say. But the highlights of the week were right after the show last week. I went to see Father Christmas at the at the theater, the movie theater, and there was the caroling there. That was a lot of fun. That was a blustery night too, but the people turned out. It was really great. And then Saturday was the holiday show at the review at the Black Cat over at, you know, Snapdragon, where Bash Honk had set up out in front to make sort of an alleyway for people to come into the show. And the show had, I think there were 15 different performances, probably almost 30 different performers amongst the groups. And it was terrific. It was packed, absolutely packed. Monday, which was yesterday, Father Christmas again went to the senior center at noon and sang for them a little bit and met the seniors there and had photos taken. And then got together with about 15, 20 carolers at the intersection out here in front of the restaurant, you know, the hardware store yesterday, and sang our lungs out there. And so it's been a great week.
Nice. All right. Sounds very festive and leading into the Christmas and Hanukkah season. Julia, welcome to the Brown Briefly. And how's your week been treating you?
Thank you. My highlight was going to the VCA and seeing A Christmas Carol that had been adapted and performed by one actor, Alan Fitzpatrick. So imagine a stage empty with one like desk and one chair, one person doing the entire script of A Christmas Carol, voicing and embodying 26 different characters.
Wow.
He was incredible.
You know, we interviewed Alan here on our show last week. And in fact, that's the second year that we've interviewed him. And what a delightful guy. I saw his show last year, and it is just remarkable. You're right. 26 characters, and there's no problem knowing which character he is at any time, isn't it?
Women, children,
yeah.
Men of different ages, ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know exactly where you are.
Exactly. Isn't that? And he wrote that, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, he adapted it, obviously, from Charles Dickens. But anyway, yeah. Really cool. I'm glad you got to go see that.
Me too.
Thanks.
Excellent. You know, one thing about Jeff Hoyt, he talks about his skill set as being a voice artist.
Right.
It sounds like we have a few voice artists around on the
indeed.
Island. Yeah. Well, let's see. My week was interesting. I had a chance to cross paths with Daniel Hooker yesterday. He is departing the island of Vashon now to head to a new place in the Midwest. Daniel was basically running the donation clothing on Vashon. Yeah, so I had a chance to meet him through a mutual friend. And it's a wonderful thing that I had that opportunity. What a spirit to basically care for so many people on our island in so many different ways. So we wish him so well as he moves into a new phase of his life. The other thing I've been working on was we have another couple of trees on our property that have, before they fall on something that will hurt us, we need to take them down. So we had another tree taken down on the property. But that motivates me to go and get the other trees that we took down 3 years ago for the same reason and get them into the mill. So I have in my planer is surrounded by a pile of shavings that are like waist high. So I've been trying to find a source for shavings from, you know, alder. So if anybody has a keen outlet for that, let me know. You know how to find me.
Right.
So, but otherwise, yeah, we're doing a little bit of wood milling and preparing hopefully for some good woodworking coming up. Hey, this is a rare year when Hanukkah and Christmas share the same eve. And apparently, it's only the fifth time since 1900, according to my friend the internet. So, we get an opportunity to share that celebration of faith together, all on the same day tomorrow. So, this is, of course, the Christmas Eve show of the Brown Briefly. And whenever a Christmas Eve falls on a Tuesday, we're going to be here talking about where things are going with on our heads, right, about the holiday season. I want to mention that also in the U.S. today is National Eggnog Day, which seems totally appropriate given this calendar. And see, Truman's given a fist bump for that.
Yeah, I do have to just give Truman a head nod as well. His eggnog is renowned in the Northwest.
Yeah, yeah. It's got so much alcohol in it.
Although, I have to tell you, I had an eggnog cocktail at Ruby Brink.
Really?
That night that you and I were there. Fantastic.
Really?
It almost rivaled yours.
Oh, no, it can't be. I'll have to go try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You better hurry. I think it's only a season.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So the eggs have never had as good a life as with Truman
Indeed.
Treats them into
That's
their
right.
eggnog,
Indeed.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Hey, since today is sort of an unusually sparse day of recognition of things like national holidays, let me point out that we just missed National Pfeffernusse Day, which was commemorated yesterday. But no worries, National Pfeffernusse Day will be back for the Tuesday, December 24th, 2023 show. So 2030, yeah. Julia.
Can I add a day of recognition,
Absolutely.
Kevin? Okay. So I called my mom yesterday to wish her happy 90th birthday.
Oh, well.
Yay,
wow.
Mom. She's not listening, but I'm very proud of her. And she told me that December 23rd now has a new name, too, and it's called Christmas Adam because Adam comes before Eve. And apparently this is from the evangelical South, that there's too many people in the churches and they're having to split them up.
Oh, no kidding. So they're going in shifts
Christmas
now.
Adam.
Christmas Adam.
Okay, well, now
think about
we have
that
to
one.
Add that into our vernacular.
Yes.
Maybe
from
not.
The lips of mom.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for sharing that important focus on our culture these days, because things do
we
keep
We have
evolving.
To let people know what a pepper-noose is.
A pepper-noose is it's a bit of a cookie, I believe, and it's a sweet. So, you know, it's one of those things you don't want to miss when you have a chance. I believe it's a German origin. And I think the pronunciation, the U has actually got an umlaut in the German spelling. So it's
that makes it impossible.
I believe, something along those lines.
Believe me, my time in Germany, I spent trying to pronounce the name of the German name of Cologne. And I won't try it here. And I would say it exactly like they were saying it. And they'd all just look at me and shake their heads and go, no, it's not right. So there's something in there that we're missing. I know.
Yeah. Well, I imagine names of cities in particular, because that's such a long history.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, Tuesday, December 24, 2030. So tune in for that. Let's see. Today in history, 1923, the first national Christmas tree was illuminated using electric lights. Electric lights for the first time was also, apparently they'd had Christmas trees, but this is the first time it was a public Christmas tree. Bruce is nodding his head, so I guess that factoid of history is accurate. President Coolidge had the honor. All right. Also in 1948, a family moves into the first fully solar house in Dover, Massachusetts. Yeah, all solar, and we hope to see more of that from my perspective as we move.
That's a piece of ground with a rope around it.
I was going to say it.
That's the first solar house.
In 1948,
That had not come to mind for me before now. So congratulations to them, the notion of getting off the grid in a whole new way. In 1968, this is Amanda Gorman was inspired by this, the first Earthrise over the limb of the moon observed by Apollo 8 astronauts. And if you haven't lately listened to Amanda Gorman's poem Earthrise, do yourself a favor and look it up on the and listen to it. It's spectacular. All right, looking ahead, 25 days to the 18th of January, which is the Women's March, Cal Anderson Park. It's actually the People's March. I think they've rebranded for this year, and gather at 8, march at 11, and festivities that go on with music and talks for a few hours. So take advantage of that if you want to head to Seattle. 27 days is Martin Luther King Day. This year's theme, Mission Possible, Protecting Freedom, Justice, and Democracy in the Spirit of Nonviolence 365. And if you question what Nonviolence 365 is, like I did, go look it up. It's worth a read in terms of the guidance that Martin Luther King shares about democracy and freedom and justice. But I think that's a wonderful segue into our discussion with our guests, Jennifer and Julia. So with that in mind, first, maybe please tell our listeners a little about yourselves and what motivated you to join our island community.
Island community in general?
Okay. In general. Sort of, how did you arrive on Vashon? Some people have arrived, you know, been here since their birth, but so many of us have joined the island. What drew you to Vashon, and how did you find us?
When my now husband and I were looking to find a place to live and buy a house, he was born and raised in Bellevue. And as he loves to say, you know, back when Bellevue was all cow pastures and blueberry farms, but not by the time we were there in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And we kept going further and further east in the county until one day we landed in a place, I think it might have been Snoqualmie or somewhere way out there on I-5 that, I-90, that I just felt was a little too far out into the country for me. And so one day we woke up and I said, we've gone so far east. What if we went west? And we jumped on a ferry and we got off the ferry and we felt that that everybody feels when they go up off the ferry. And we went to a real estate office and we met Emma Amiad and she showed us around. And then she dropped us at Thriftway for to find lunch, and we were walking around the aisles of Thriftway, and we saw all these people just talking to each other, talking in these little clumps. And we looked at each other and we said, "We are not in Bellevue anymore." So it was the ha, and it was that community feeling that, you know, made us say this is the place for us. And those have both just continued to be true, and we've always thought we made a great decision in landing here.
So we're is it Go West, Young Man? Was Greeley, or you're channeling Horace Greeley to brought you to Vashon? Right, that's awesome. All right. Well, Jennifer, you have joined us in the past, but remind our listeners about your journey to Vashon, or some maybe your special insights now that you've been here for some time.
Well, most folks know I started out in Montana and did the best I could with the art scene there, and then some friends coerced me to go to Portland, Oregon, and I did a good 3.5 years there, and solidly not a big city kid, as big as Portland is. And I had a friend that I was visiting here on Vashon, just kept coming over, and the ruralness of it, with the big city benefits, as I would put it in quotes, it just seduced me. It just absolutely just seduced me. Vashon reminds me of a small town in Montana called Red Lodge, where you'll see people talking on the streets together and hanging out, and there's neighbors. Mm-hmm. It's just very neighborly
and
very
wonderful town.
Yep, love Red Lodge.
It's the prison that reminds you of.
No, it's Deer Lodge. It's Deer Lodge.
Our dark side, too.
Different Lodge.
Yeah.
Different
Lodge.
Yeah. Deer Lodge,
that's
not Red Lodge.
Deer Lodge, yeah.
Red Lodge is what just about got me booted out of college, I have to tell you, because I spent like 4 days a week skiing in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. I arranged my schedule at college so that I was going Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I was in Red Lodge skiing.
You can find a lot of trouble there, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, baby, yep. You're not kidding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think, Bruce, you might have start us off on our conversation with our not on our island friends.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your program, and how do you reach out to the community to
Absolutely.
Do that?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we started last June. Our Father Trifon here on the island had gone around and taken videos of people's homes with their pride flags hanging out. And it was very disconcerting. Filming people's homes is something called doxing. And quite a few of us were very upset about what we saw. And so a bunch of us formed together, and there was a movement that started in my hometown of Billings, Montana, called Not in Our Town. And that was a response to some graffiti that had been put on the local Jewish. Hmm. Yeah, so there was graffiti. There was also a Native American woman that was getting harassed. And we decided to model ourselves after that. And just say, you know, we're not doing this. This is dangerous behavior, and we needed to send a message. So quite a few of us got together, and Father Trifon's products from the monastery were taken off the grocery shelves. We were grateful for the support. A lot of folks chimed in. A lot of folks were against it. Understandable. It's a little baffling why he chose to do that. But it was a great response, a heartening response. We reached out to the Vashon Gay Alliance, who haven't been very active lately, which is a good sign, right, that we get to just relax and be ourselves. But this incident made us rally, and it's been an interesting ride, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so the origin story of Not on Our Island here, motivation from your experience in Montana and that history, but also then a local incident was what caused you to move forward with this.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I apologize. I am going to have to duck out, but I just had to come by and say hi and get at least one question. I had an unexpected Christmas Eve demand come up on me, but I just couldn't not say hi and come in for at least as much of the conversation as I could. But, you know, so as you formed Knot on our island and as the work and the goals and everything came together, what other movements or organizations sort of inspired you know, the values of Knot on our island and the work that the organization is doing?
We've really enjoyed partnering with Women Hold the Key on several projects. We love that organization and everything that Tina is doing, offering safe space and watching friendships and alliances get built in the community. We're inspired by Indivisible Vashon, absolutely, especially their work around undocumented people. And we've been really enjoying working with Dove Project. We're getting ready to do a workshop with them. We feel that they do life-saving work on survivors of interpersonal violence. And then the Havara we've been working in conjunction with. We're really excited to work with our Jewish neighbors. It's one of our key values because Knot on our island stands for all forms of bullying.
Or against all
against
forms of
against
bullying.
All thank you.
Made nice to be clear about that.
Yeah, the classes that are happening there are, you know, staying calm and centered in difficult times, and also fostering situational awareness, being fearless, not fearful. And a big shout out with Vashon Youth and Family Services Executive Director Jenny Johnson sent out a letter post this recent election to members of marginalized communities offering support. And their recent offerings of their Beloved Community series has just been absolutely stunning.
The term Beloved Community was popularized by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He envisioned it as a society where all people can live in peace, recognizing each other's inherent worth and resolving conflicts without hostility. And so Knot on Our Island has based itself on his principles of nonviolence.
I have to tell you, I'm very glad to learn about you, because when I first heard that we were going to have Knot on Our Island, I thought it was NIMBY, like not in my backyard. Yeah. And I was like, oh, brother, no, don't tell me. Oh, thank you. But anyway, so.
Thanks, Truman. I'm so glad to clarify that. In fact, I think we've joined against some NIMBY forces,
exactly.
Like the folks who are opposing the Thunderbird Treatment Center.
Exactly.
We've really stood up and said, this place belongs here. We need to have this here.
Yeah, I'm glad to get that clear, because I think that might be something that other people might get as well. So Anyway, so I you're talking about the different organizations. How many individual people are working with you folks, individuals, you know? And who is involved?
Our core, steering committee is about five people right now. Mm-hmm. We've had, I think our initial response when we got an article in the Beachcomber and we quickly threw up a website so folks could reach out to us. I think the number was we had over 168 people respond right off the bat.
Really? That's
fantastic. Yeah, which was lovely.
Yeah.
Our membership is private. And we also keep our meetings private.
Good.
So that folks can feel safe. And our mission statement, of course, standing up against all forms of bullying. But it's really, it's open. You know, folks can just come up and hit the website, send their email to us, and we can put them on our email list where they'll get, you know, a list of action items or workshops that we're planning on coming up. And
anyone who wants to join our community and stand up against bullying and hate is most welcome to join us.
Thank you.
You know, the two of you have been touching upon what inspired you to start the organization and the people that you've been working with. But I'm curious if you have a specific mission. You know, what kinds of outcomes do you seek? Are you focused on any specifics that you're really targeting? And before I forget, what does a quote safe place for all to live in peace look like from your point of view here on Vashon? big open-ended questions.
Let's get it.
I hate to just read, but I get too nervous if I don't, so I'll start that way.
You and me both.
So, a sense of freedom and spaciousness to be ourselves wherever we go without hate. Even though Vashon is safe in so many ways, there are still incidents happening. We've been made aware of oppression against trans folks, Jews, and recently we know of two households who have left the island because of anti-gay harassment. So this stuff is really important to us to follow, to report when needed, to band together for strength and solidarity. Do we have measurable outcomes? No, we're not that far along. But we know what we stand for and what we stand against.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I was blown away at that little sign on the side of the road that said Vashon Gay Alliance was maintaining that part of the road. Like, there was an interior part of myself that actually relaxed. When I first moved here, I was keeping my beard off. I needed to get a job. I needed to rent. And then I just started to relax and realize I really could be myself here. And I could be safe. And so I really relaxed. And it's been amazing to be on this island. With the Father Trifon incident, it's got my alarm up a little bit. I'm really grateful that I don't have bumper stickers on my car that could make it easy to target me. What that safety looks like is solidarity and seeing lots of stickers on people's cars and lots of yard signs out. It's what Not in Our Town achieved when the Billings Gazette 20 years ago published a single page with a menorah on it so that everyone could put that up in their businesses and people could know where it was safe. So it's watching also, like, recently The Loop has published an article on Father Trifon and about how charming and how wonderful, and it is charming and wonderful, but he's chosen to do some stuff that was a little sketchy. So, you know, a safe place is getting to see those signals, getting to see that people support that safety, that people are in solidarity.
Got it.
Can I just say something about the Father Trifon videos?
Sure.
They seem to speak directly to heterosexual white men who feel disenfranchised, threatened by people who are different. And that sense of disenfranchisement, it's real for them and it's valid and it needs to be addressed. But hate and bullying and othering is never the way to do it.
You know, when I was first on Vashon, I also saw that sign of the Gay Pride Alliance maintaining the roads, and that always elicited some conversations. So it helped me to kind of see where Vashon was at and what Vashon's headspace was around really, you know, diverse members of our community. Yeah. In the Equity Committee, which now is 3 years old, you know, did some outreach to folks that I knew and people who Bruce knows because they helped with the In and Out exhibit at the museum to connect with the Gay Pride Alliance. And 3 years ago, it was, well, we don't really get together all that often anymore, which, Jennifer, as you mentioned, you know, is that a good or a bad thing? But certainly in getting sort of more into that conversation, it was about the threat that was originally perceived had diminished. But pendulum swing in our society, right? So I think we need to be vigilant and aware of things that do change.
One of the interesting things about that road sign and the Gay Alliance maintaining a part of Vashon Highway is when we did the In and Out exhibit, we actually had one of the signs that had been vandalized. Because mm-hmm. for a period of about 3 or 4 years, every couple months, the sign would be vandalized. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a measure of how the island had begun to change in that, you know, after a while, the sign was not vandalized. And so it's a measure of hope. But then also you get things like the Father Trifon sort of incident. And it's sort of like we still have a long way to go. You know what I mean?
Yep, we do. Mm-hmm.
Well, in answering Craig's question, use the word freedom. And I think that's an important word that has a lot of interesting connotations. I just started reading Dr. Timothy Snyder's book, On Freedom, is the title of the book. This is sort of a philosophy question, which you may have actually given us some insights, but what Dr. Snyder points out is that in practice, freedom is often characterized as the absence of something, right? Like conservatives talk about being free from government regulations, right? Business people say, you know, all those regulations, they just tie me down. If I could just get free of them, everything would be great. But Dr. Snyder also says freedom is about the presence of some things. And maybe that's a place to focus. And I think you mentioned a couple of them, but in this context, anything you might want to add to what comes to mind when you think about being free to live in a place in peace, which is part of the objective of Not on Our Island? What do you see that? Is it those conversations taking place the street corners?
Yeah, it is those conversations taking place. I mean, I remember when I first moved here and I would go to the grocery store and I'd hear these little kids tugging on their mom's skirt saying, is that a boy or a girl? And I would watch those parents turn to their child and say, go and ask. And mm-hmm. I would get to get down on my knees with those kids and have those conversations with them. That meant the world to me that their parents were open enough to let me, you know, let their kids engage with me. And, you know, one of the things that I always hope for is by me walking down the street, I'm showing that there's room for anybody to show up how they need to, you know.
And just for clarification, folks, for you folks listening, Jennifer is the bearded lady, and she has the most wonderful thing on Facebook, the Bearded Lady Road Report. For any of you folks who are on Facebook, do not miss. Get yourself on her list because she is fantastic. She drives around the island and tells us where the roads are blocked and where there's problems. And, boy, listen, I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your being out there. Yeah, that's great.
Thanks. I'm excited that I found out that King County Roads follows Bearded Lady Road Report.
There you go.
I'm that cool.
So, there you are. That, you
know,
cool.
And there's that peace. Again, exactly. Here I am on this island. You know, I've been doing house cleaning here on the island. I get to call myself Bearded Lady House Cleaning. Yep. And, you know, most folks don't bat an eye. I can walk through downtown and most folks don't bat an eye. I'm even celebrated. Yep. And that's remarkable. So, you know, it's those things. But again, back to that solidarity piece and making sure that those, like, we've got yard signs now for Not on Our Island. And so it's like that Vashon Gay Alliance sign had such an impact on so many of us. It's getting to see those things that creates that sense of safety.
You also have one of the cutest dogs on Vashon.
I'm telling you, I'm going to get that dog an OnlyFans page. She's going to earn her own kibble. She's amazing. Thank you.
All right. And Julie, you mentioned sort of when you arrived on Vashon, you know, the thing that said, this is home for me, or our future home. In terms of freedoms and things that you look for, anything else come to mind for you? You
know, I'm still thinking about the word safety. Mm-hmm. You've moved to freedom. I'm still going to riff on safety.
Sure.
I'm thinking about how safety isn't only the lack of an incident, the lack of anything offensive. It's the response to it, the community response. And so I think about when there was anti-Jewish graffiti on the Havara many years ago, and a huge swath of the community came together, including the Beachcomber and the publishing of the Jewish Stars or the menorahs to put in your window. I'm thinking of the Muslim ban in the first administration of that person. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge response to that on the island. And there's one more. Oh, yeah, the lining the streets after the George Floyd murder. Those things make me feel like I'm part of a community that has meaning, that has solidarity, that thinks not all in the same way, but responds from a similar place.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys a question, because this sort of, I've been doing some work with the recent election results on Vashon, and we have over 900 people on Vashon voted for Trump. So it's not like there's not people on the island who have conservative views and who have feel threatened in many ways by what you're doing. How do you respond to that? And has there been an uptick, do you think, in kind of hate speech, hate actions in the last year and a half, you know, since things have gotten politically much more divisive in this country. Great silence. Yeah, I understand.
This wasn't on the transcript that we received. I know that it was documented that during the first Trump administration, there was a big uptick in hate speech and hate actions. I can't speak to right now, but I can kind of assume with some comfort that it's true. Mm-hmm. I respect different viewpoints. I respect that we have a two-party system. I could sit down and talk with a Republican, and I think we could find some commonality. But things have become really divisive in our society. There are elements in and from outside of our society that want us to be divided and be unable to talk to each other and respect each other. That really concerns me. That's a little beyond our scope, but it concerns me.
Since the election in the trans community, suicidal ideation has gone up 700%.
Right. You know, the one thing that I really appreciated that you're saying, and that is that, yes, we have this other voice on the island, and they have every right to have that voice, and they should be included, absolutely. Yeah. But the part that is not acceptable is that bullying and that putting down and all of those things that come with that. If you know, I have lots of friends who are super conservative, and as long as we're reasonable with each other, everything works fine. It's when they start going the other way that it does not. And so I really appreciate your thoughts on
read
that.
Your Heather Cox Richardson, right?
There you go.
She speaks to these elements that are trying to get things more and more divided. It's right. Not just about different viewpoints, it's about trying to get into and maintain the power at any cost.
Yeah.
Really concerning.
Yeah. So since July, we've been meeting every 3 weeks. Sometimes it's just to hold space, especially after the recent election. We're offering free workshops, such as the importance of using inclusive language, how to respond in a difficult conversation, regulating the central nervous system in the face of threats, and personal management and activism. We've also recently partnered with Chris Basha and his production of the Laramie Project, supported the Thunderbird Center on its efforts to move to the island, and had a great time showing up for the Strawberry Festival with Matt Berskin with our parade entry. It was pretty dang fun. And we're excited about our upcoming programming. We've got some great workshops happening. We're really excited to be bringing a world-renowned nonviolent communication expert, Aya Caspi, to the VCA in September for a week of lecture and workshops. We're also working with Dove. We've got a community advocacy workshop coming up, and you can contact Dove for those details. We've just got some great programming coming up. And so our mandate in moving forward is, you know, education. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like how to stand up and how to participate and how to learn all these different kinds of language, but it's also how to maintain yourself in these difficult times.
That's right? That is a hard lesson to get across.
Key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's key. Yep.
And so I think you mentioned the January 18th.
Bystander intervention.
And did you want to let people know? I may have missed if you let people know how to get signed up to participate in that.
You can go to right now at this point, you can reach out to Dove for their registration.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep, and then location will be revealed once you've registered all of that. So mm-hmm. again, we're trying to keep that privacy and that safety in place.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
But for the rest of our ongoing workshops, you can go to our website, notonourisland.org, and there's a prompt there where you can sign up with your email, and please do say, you know, why you want to join. There's a window for that, so then we can know where folks are coming from when they sign up. It's also a great way to reach out for us for the yard signs.
Okay, and so once people do sign up, then are they going to be treated to occasional communication from Not On Our Island?
Regular emails.
Regular emails,
letting
okay.
you know what we're doing. Sometimes we share other community events, action items when we've got them.
Yep. Invitations, friendship.
Yep, all mm-hmm. the above.
Okay, excellent. Well, and just want to go back to one of the things that we talked about earlier in terms of this, you know, there are a range of different political perspectives on the island. But I guess I would maybe say from what I heard you say that if the progressive community starts attacking the conservative community, then we've kind of lost, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've kind of lost. So maybe that's an indication of where we might be going off the road.
Yeah.
And the path that you'd like us to be on.
That's a key aspect of the Aya Caspi workshop coming up in September, about talking to your neighbors about your differences. I'm really excited for this one. It's just going to be, and it's about being able to talk to each other. Yeah.
Respectfully.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, I do see that you did bring in an awesome little sign that people can put out, and how do folks come across those?
Yeah, again, just reach out through the knotisland.org, knotonourisland.org website, and let us know that you'd like to buy a yard sign. We've also got some stickers. We make those available regularly at our events, but outside of our events, you can just reach out and make those arrangements. They're $20 just so we can recover our costs.
Okay. Yeah. So knotonourisland.org, you fill in your name, your email address, and in the little field says, why do you want to join us? Just say, I'd love to have one of those signs for my yard.
Yep.
Awesome.
We'll get it to you.
Okay. Fantastic. So
one of the questions, obviously, I mean, that comes to mind, and you've answered it really, is how can other people get involved? But what other kinds of things can people get involved in? I mean, besides, you know, going to your website, are there workshops or things that they can, that people who are not involved can get invited to?
Everything Hawk just mentioned. Yeah, we're doing as part of our group, and people are welcome to come to all of it. Yes.
And also, you know, go check out the Vashon Family Youth and Services website about their Beloved Community series. Those workshops are free. They're amazing. Anything that Dove is doing right now, keep your eyes on that. There's just so much opportunity for education.
And I have to put in a plug for Voice of Vashon. We do have a show at 1:30 on Tuesdays called Adventures in Recovery, and it's Tom Walston from Vashon Youth and Family Services, and he's really great. I mean, when he talks about recovery, he's talking about all kinds of stuff, not just drugs and alcohol, but recovering from trauma, from bullying, and all of those things. It's great.
Right.
It's a little plug for him.
Thank you. I'll be tuning in. Thank you for that, Dreamy. Mm-hmm.
If I can just ask a question, too, about, I mean, you've aligned yourself with other organizations who are doing very similar things. How are you aligning yourself with organizations that may not have the same kind of mission you have, but also are important community groups? And how are you working with the school district?
We have not, we've started to tickle the school district connection. I mean, we're still less than a year old and finding our way through these waters. But for sure, we're trying to. One thing we've just observed on this island is that there's a lot of stuff that does double duty. Organizations come up that actually have the same thing going on. And also, you know, the great desire for a group calendar so we're not programming over the top of each other. So we're still finding our place with the organizations and who works with us and who can help us as we move forward and how we can help them. We've had some great opportunities.
All right. Well, you mentioned a few organizations that I am also affiliated with, the Havra in particular with Suzanne and her involvement with Indivisible Vashon as well, and Jenna with the Immigrant Refugee Rights Work Group. So I'm hearing more about Not On Our Island from different aspects of the world that I'm in. So the word is getting out. So fantastic for that.
May we all cross-pollinate.
There you go. Okay, that is so important.
That's a great line.
All right, well, I can think of nothing better, and thank you so much on short notice for being able to come in and talk about your vision of living together in peace and safety, and as we move into our holiday season where that's such a theme. Curious if briefly your guests want to share any of their particular reflections on the holiday season and what they want to add, or maybe what they're doing coming up, or things that you look back in the past that really inspired you about the time of year we're in.
Well, when you send out your suggestion for a script, you ask us to reflect on past Christmases and past traditions. And I thought about that for a while, and finally it dawned on me, oh my gosh, the most amazing Christmas I think I've ever spent was in 1968, the Christmas of 1968. I was in Germany in the Army, and there was a gentleman who was a master sergeant, E8. I was an E5, which is like three ranks below him. He was about 20 years older than me. His name was Asbjørn Suke. He was Norwegian. He was actually a dual citizenship of American and Norwegian. His father had been the station manager of a Norwegian shipping company in New York. So he was born in New York. But every summer he came back to Norway. And once he became an adult, he moved back to Norway. Long story about his whole history. It's fascinating, by the way. But the Christmas of 1968, he invited me to come home with him for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And his household was the most amazing place. His wife was German. His kids, of course, were American, Norwegian and American. And both and the languages spoken in that house were mm-hmm. English, German, Norwegian, Swedish, and all at the same time. It was the craziest thing you've ever experienced in your life. But it was an absolute wonderful Christmas to be. He lived right on the water where there's a rocky shore. And that Christmas was one that I'll never, ever forget. 1968.
Fantastic. All right. Any other shared Christmas experiences or reflections on
sure.
the holiday season?
Sure. Two come to mind, both of which brought tears to my eyes when they occurred. One was, it sounds a little Hollywood, but we my wife and I and our two kids were at a theater in Spokane, and some of you I think have heard this story. And we came out of it was a show about Santa Claus, and a good one, a really good one, a tearjerker. And then we came out of there and got in the car, and all of a sudden, up in the sky, we see what looks like a sleigh and eight reindeer, and they were big. All I could hear was jingling. That's all you could hear, just as these bells. And the kids were little. And I go, look, you know, and they go, wow. So we started driving home to the west side of Spokane, kind of below Indian Canyon, for those of you who know that area. By coincidence, this sleigh is following us in the sky all the way home. And then it disappeared. And off the air, I'll explain that event a little more than I will here and now. The other one was when I was 17, I was one of my 54 jobs. Mm-hmm. I was working at a tree, a Christmas tree lot. And it was Christmas Eve, like today, and the... And some families came in that didn't have a dime, and they wondered if there was any discarded trees that they might be able to have and put in their house. And I was in a position to say, take your pick, you know, and take the best tree you can find. And there were some beautiful trees there. And So they were thrilled to be able to do that and not have to do with a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Although I love Charlie Brown Christmas trees, but that was the other one. So,
well, excellent,
sweet,
fantastic. Now there's all this intrigue too about the off the air story you're going to tell us. So tune in maybe next week.
I hear that, yeah.
Bruce. Jennifer, you have a story to share.
When I think about the holidays, I will always my memory banks that I will always meditate on this time of year is my mother, and my father was an antique dealer. And so I grew up in a beautiful home. Mom was a remarkable homemaker. And Dad had this Civil War era solitary table with multiple leaves that would seat about 25 people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And Mom had a complete set of blue willow china that had been started by my great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. And there was a plate, the bread plate, the soup plate, the individual salt and pepper shakers, everything all spread out on that table. And Mom made an amazing meal. And she always turned me loose on the decorations. She'd help me a little bit. But more than once, the decorations got so carried away that the food had to be served buffet style.
The table decorations.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. So Dad brought the furniture, Mom brought the food, and then I came in and dove in on the decorations. And it was always such an amazing time to have that much family around. And the kids and the aunts and so many who have passed away now, but I can still close my eyes. And Mom always did that big prime rib, and I can still smell it.
And was that in Billings?
Or? That was in Billings, Montana.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It was a remarkable home.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A historical memory, if you will, from Vashon is about 1966. So it's before the Tet Offensive in 67.
68.
68, I mean. And it was when, the Vietnam War was just starting, basically. And Vashon was very, very supportive of the Vietnam War, as many rural small town communities were. And there was a high percentage of young men from Vashon who were in Vietnam at that time. And so the JCs organized a Christmas package sort of thing, kind of a goodwill package, if you will. And they sent like 40 of these packages to Vietnam, and each one had a tiny small Christmas tree in it. Mm. It had cookies who were baked by the women in various churches, and it had, sort of reminiscent things about Vashon. And you can imagine, I mean, you were in Vietnam, so
I was, yeah.
When you got a package like that, I mean, it made you feel connected to home.
It was amazing.
And that's a small town kind of thing, and that's what, you still have some of that kind of stuff on Vashon. As rapidly as Vashon's changing, it's the conversations in the grocery store, it's being walking down the street and being able to greet people and not living in fear.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are the kind of things that define a community. And Vashon's had that for a long, long time.
Yep.
I have to just tell you, I was in Vietnam in 1966, and I had a good buddy, Joe Cheska. Joe was a Polish kid from Chicago, and his parents sent him at Christmas time a Polish sausage. No,
a kielbasa?
But it was one that you can eat. You just cut it up and eat it. I can't think of what you call it right now. But anyway, this thing was huge. And it had been in that hot, hot climate. So it was sweating a little and had this amazing aroma. And we'll call it aroma. But everyone said, oh my gosh, get that thing out of here. But Joe and I got into it, and it was fantastic. To this day, I've never had anything quite like that. But coming from home, it was really very, very, very special for us.
Fantastic. Thank you. So I have had quite a number of different Christmas experiences, but the one that resonates for me is also a Norwegian family.
Oh.
Yes. And after my parents divorced, my mother ended up having a relationship with a fellow, the son of Ewart Upper.
Yeah.
And I tried to find Ewart's memorial. He passed away at about 101.
Wow.
His family farm is still, the farmhouse is still there in the Kent Valley, just south of the Valley General Hospital. And if you drive south on the Valley Freeway, or highway, just past that exit, you can look up on the hill to the east, to the White Farmhouse, which is still there. And Ewart Upper was from Oslo, and he would host at his farmhouse, which was the family. They had, territory. They, during Washington's, right, you could get land. He owned land all the way across the valley where they had a dairy farm and other things. But their Christmas tree was connected to the ceiling because people would, at end of dinner, hold hands around the tree and sing carols was their family tradition. Aww. And they had to hold and make sure the tree was connected to the ceiling in case anything happened, it would tip it over into everybody else who's recognizing the Christmas holiday there. He would have people from all over the world basically show up because of his adventures. He was in the cavalry in World War II, if I remember right, because the draft horses were the ones that would haul the cannons through the mud.
Mm. Absolutely.
So if I remember the war that he was in, which seemed really strange to me. At any rate, as we approach the holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to those who recognize and celebrate those. We've heard stories from family. We have recollections of Christmases and Hanukkah's past. Whether you're here with family or here alone, reflect back on the spirit of the season. Thank you for reflecting on that with your vision of life on Vashon and how we can move forward. So thank you so much again for being here. Craig, who's in...
let me jump in. Please, don't forget Festivus.
Oh, yes, for the rest of us.
We have to remember Festivus for the rest of us.
That's right.
Very good, yes. Thanks for being inclusive. And Craig, we have some folks showing up next week.
Well, we got Alex Brewell, the editor of The Beachcomber, is going to do a year-end wrap-up of the most interesting and challenging and fun stories that The Beachcomber has had this last year.
All right. The year in review right here in the Brown Briefly next Tuesday. So for Jennifer, Julia, Truman, Bruce, Craig, Amy, I'm Kevin. We thank you for listening. We'll see you all again next week on the Brown Briefly. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, you guys.